Acts chapter 7. Now they've accused poor Stephen of trying to destroy the temple, which was not true. And this is his answer. The high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Get out of your land, from your kindred, and come into the land which I will show you.'" So his point is that the God of glory doesn't only appear in Israel, but even in Mesopotamia. This is not in the land of Israel. This is where Abraham used to live. And he told him to leave all that. And of course, as soon as you read anything about Abraham, we remember that Abraham was the father of the faithful, and he is our pattern. So Abraham came out of the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And from there, when his father was dead, God moved him into this land where you now live. Well, God had actually told him to get up and leave his family and his homeland, but he didn't actually do that straight away. And God moved him. So Stephen is talking about God's grace. He's saying that actually, if you want to be obedient, God will make you obedient. And Abraham himself says, "God caused me to wander from my father's house." So Abraham recognizes that there was the hand of God in making him obedient. And God gave him no inheritance in it, not as much as to set his foot on. And yet he promised that he would give it to him in possession and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. So then he even had to buy a bit of land on which to bury his wife. And it's the same with us. This land is our land forever and ever, but not yet. We've got to wait until God fulfills his promise, and God will keep his promise to Abraham. But he's going to do that by resurrecting Abraham from the dead. And God spoke in this way, that Abraham's seed, his children, his descendants, should live in a strange land, that's Egypt, and that they would bring them into bondage and treat them badly 400 years. "And I will judge the nation to whom they will be slaves," said God, "and after that they will come out of there and serve me in this place." And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 fathers. And the fathers, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and saved him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the eyes of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt. Now there came a famine over all Egypt and Canaan, and our fathers didn't have any food. But when Jacob heard that there was corn in Egypt, he sent out our fathers the first time. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his brothers. Maybe a bit like the first time Jesus came to his brothers, that is Israel, they didn't accept him. But when he comes again, they will accept him. And Joseph's race, that is that he was a Hebrew, became known unto Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and called Jacob his father and all his family, 75 people. Jacob went down into Egypt and he died, he and our fathers, and they were carried over to Shechem and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought for a price of the sons of Hamor in Shechem. So Jacob and, it says, all the patriarchs, we know Joseph for sure, they didn't want their bones left in Egypt. Their hearts were not in that fancy, wealthy country, but in the hope of Israel. And that's how we should be, that no matter how comfortable life seems, we're looking to the great day of resurrection and of the kingdom of God coming and the fulfillment of the promises. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had promised to Abraham, the people grew and multiplied in Egypt, until there arose another king over Egypt who didn't know Joseph. He dealt badly with our fathers and treated them very badly, so that they cast out their babies to the end they might not live, at which time Moses was born and was very fair and grew up 3 months in his father's house. And when he was thrown out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was taught in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and works. But when he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. So God puts ideas into our hearts. And the important thing is that we are open to him. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, Moses defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and killed the Egyptian. He thought that his brothers would understand that God by his hand was giving them salvation, but they didn't. And the next day he appeared unto them as they were fighting with each other and tried to make peace amongst them, saying, "Your brothers, why do you do wrong to each other?" Now that's again a lesson for us. You are brothers and sisters. Why are you fighting each other? But he that did his brother wrong pushed Moses away, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge over us? Will you kill me as you did the Egyptian yesterday?" And Moses ran away at that saying and became a stranger in the land of Midian, where he had two children. And when 40 years were fulfilled, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness, in Mount Sinai, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight, and as he drew near to behold, there came a voice from the Lord saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And Moses trembled and dared not look. And the Lord said to him, "Take off your shoes from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Now, this is all in the context of the Jews arguing that the temple in Jerusalem was the most holy ground. And Stephen's saying, but look, holy ground can be anywhere. It can be in the desert, by a burning bush, wherever God says. And the angel said, "I have surely seen the affliction of my people in Egypt, and I have heard their groaning, and I am come down to save them. And now come, I will send you into Egypt." This Moses, whom they refused, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" Him did God send to be both a ruler and a judge by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. He led them out, having worked wonders and signs in Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is that Moses who said to the children of Israel, "A prophet shall God raise up unto you from among your brothers like unto me." Now that, of course, was a prophecy of Jesus. And the point is that he was from among your brothers. He was to be of their nature. He was one of them. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spoke to him in Mount Sinai and with our fathers, who received living words to give to us, to whom our fathers would not obey, but pushed him away from them, and in their hearts turned back to Egypt. Now, when we're baptized, we go through the Red Sea, as it were, and then we're in the desert. And what's so important is the state of our hearts. And we must not go back in our hearts to Egypt. But they did, and they said to Aaron, "Make us gods to go before us. For as for this Moses, who brought us out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." And they made a calf, the golden calf, and offered sacrifice to their idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. So God turned and gave them up to worship all the stars of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, "Did you really offer to me slain beasts and sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tabernacle of Moloch, and the star of your god Remphan, figures which you made to worship them, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon." So they carried the tabernacle of God through the desert and also the tabernacle of their idols, Moloch and Remphan. So they carried at least two tabernacles. So you see how bad they were. And yet God was always providing them with food every day, manna, and desperately wanting to guide them to the kingdom. So Israel was so weak, and that's an encouragement as well as a warning to us. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, even as he appointed, who spoke to Moses, that he should make it according to the figure that he had seen, which also our fathers in their turn brought in with Joshua into the possession of the nations, which God drove out before the face of our fathers until the days of David, who found favor in the eyes of God and wanted to build a house for the God of Jacob. Solomon built him a house, but the Most High does not live in houses made with hands. As says the prophet, The heaven is my throne, and the earth the footstool of my feet. What kind of house can you build me, says the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Did not my hand make all these things? And now Stephen really goes for them. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you are still resisting the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets didn't your fathers persecute? And they killed those who showed before about the coming of the Righteous One, that's Jesus, of whom you have now become betrayers and murderers, you who received the law as it was given by angels and have not kept it. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, Jesus, we're told in Hebrews, sits at the right hand of God. But because Stephen was in such a terrible situation, Jesus is standing instead of sitting as he normally does. So it just shows that Jesus has got feelings and passion for us when he sees us in our difficulties here, and he's there begging God to be with us. But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed upon him with one accord, and they threw him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul, who was later to become Paul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon the Lord and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. So death for us is asleep and will be resurrected when Jesus comes back. And then things will all be so different, because the last thing that Stephen saw was this wicked man Saul organizing his stoning. But just imagine when he wakes up in the kingdom and Saul is going to be there as Paul, one of the greatest Christians of all time. And he's going to say, I'm so sorry, Stephen. And Stephen will say, that's okay, I forgave you even then. So this is the wonderful sort of things we can look forward to in the kingdom of God.